Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Lucky Girl Podcast, your go-to podcast for creating your dream life. I'm your host, Lexi Prieto, and I hope you're ready to enter your luckiest era ever. Good morning, Lucky Girls. Welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited for this episode. This episode is going to be a very, very, very vulnerable episode for me. This episode is all about mental health. And I do want to give you a trigger warning before we start this. I'm going to be talking about anxiety and depression and some heavy things in my life. So if that's not for you, if you're not feeling that at this point in time, go ahead and listen to a different episode. But I really wanted to do this episode. I've been really, really thinking lately about my mental health journey, about how far I've come in my life. I'm 22. I have gone through so much at such a young age, and I really just wanted to share it with you guys. So I'm very, very excited to sit here and talk to you guys about everything that I've been through. And I think more than anything, I just feel like the luckiest girl in the world that I have this platform to do so, that I can take all of my struggles and my trauma and the things that hurt me in the past and make it into something beautiful for you guys. So I just want to say thank you. But before we fully get into this episode, we're going to go ahead and get our social medias out of the way. If you want to follow the podcast Instagram, stay up to date on everything podcast. We do weekly recaps. We do our Lucky Girl affirmations of the week. If I ever have any news or updates to share with you regarding the podcast, it'll be posted on there. So make sure you're following at Lucky Girl Pod. That's LuckyGirlPod. Once again, that is Lucky Girl Pod. If you want to follow my personal Instagram, stay up to date on everything that I do, because you guys know I am chronically online and I love posting. I would love if you guys followed me at Lexi G Prieto. That's LexiGPrieto. I also have a YouTube, TikTok, and Pinterest that are all that handle as well. Once again, it is Lexi G Prieto. I have a Beacons link in my Instagram bio. So if you don't want to have to click on all these apps to find me and use the search bar, you can go to Instagram, find me, use the Beacons link that has all my other links, and it'll forward you there. I've been on my YouTube game recently. I vlogged the entire day on Thursday, and it was a really, really fun vlog, so I cannot wait for that to come out. You're going to listen to this on Sunday. It'll be out the following Saturday. So you guys get ready. I'm so, so excited. I love when I create content. Honestly, it just makes me so excited for life when I create content, because in a weird way, it makes me realize the things that I value in life, because pulling out your phone or pulling out your vlog camera and choosing what to film, you know, obviously I want it to be entertaining. I want you guys to love it, but I always pull it out when I'm happy or it's something I want to remember, because that's really why I create content to begin with, especially when it comes to the vlog, is because, and I've said this all the time in the podcast, really early on, I would say this all the time, I create content so that when I'm 50, 60, 70, I get to look back on me in my 20s, growing, changing, evolving, and see what was going on in my mind at that time, because I've already learned so much and been through so much this far. I cannot imagine how wise and how much I will grow when I'm up there in age, you know? So that's why I create content. That's why I push myself to just put out the content that I want to put and be as authentic as possible, because I want to look back and see that, oh, this is what Lexi did at 22. And it's just really, really, really thrilling for me to be able to have that and be able to experience it. And let this be your hype up to start creating content if you want to. Nobody has to see it. You know, having followers and having fans and having, you know, creating a community, that's a bonus to why I want to do this. I want to do this for me genuinely, because I genuinely love it. But I will say, as authentic as you become and you become true to yourself and you work on yourself, you will find your community. You will find your niche. You will find people that love you for you, because that's just the way the world works. It's like when you start a new job and it's all new people and you're like, oh, I don't know if like anybody's going to like me. You have this anxiety. I'm so scared. You always find at least one person to be friends with. even if it's not like hardcore friends, it's acquaintances. You always find that one coworker, always, every single time, that you're like, oh, I'm happy I see you today, because they like you, because they enjoy your company. Think of how many times people have enjoyed being around you. That's exactly what creating content is, but it's also broadcasted to a bigger mass, you know? So if you work in a company with 50 workers and two people really like you, that's 2 to 50. Now multiply that by billions and billions and billions. You are going to have a following, but the following is not important. You guys individually are important to me, which makes the community important, but I genuinely love you guys so much. I love hearing your feedback. I love how much you guys love the podcast. I love that I'm helping people. And my favorite thing in the world genuinely is when I get DMs from you guys saying that, like, you're listening to me at the gym, or like, hey, this episode really, really helped me. I got a lot of DMs after I posted the episode about my breakup saying like, hey, like, I went through a breakup too, and I know exactly how you were feeling, and like feeling frustrated, and like, I'm here for you, or like, I'm glad you were here for me. And like, I genuinely got a lot of DMs about it. So it was just genuinely, it made me feel really, really valued and really, really sweet. So thank you so much to anyone who has ever reached out to me, posted on their story, anything about the Lucky Girl podcast, to continue to grow this community and, you know, help us find more lucky girls who need this push, need this guidance, need this hand to hold and walk through this life together to become the luckiest girls in the world. So this is what this episode is about. This is episode 43. This is the magic of mindset, my mental health journey. So before we get into my journey, we're still going to do the weekly segments. So as you know, for the Lucky Girl segments, we do 3 a week. We do the weekly recap, we do the Lucky Girl Obsessions, and we do What Has Made Me Feel Lucky. I'm going to switch it around this time, and instead of doing the What Has Made Me Feel Lucky last, I'm going to do the What Has Made Me Feel Lucky first, because it is not a thing, but it is a moment that I had this week that I was like, this is the reason I'm alive. This is what has made me feel the most lucky. So if you guys are avid listeners to the pod, you know that I have a very, very dear friend named Cassandra. And it reminds me of that TikTok sound that's like, every time I ask him where he's at, he's like, oh, what is it? He's like, I'm with Stacy. And I'm like, who is this Stacy? I don't know if that is ever going to make sense to anybody. That's such a niche thing, actually. And I don't know if her name is even Stacy. But anyways, Cassandra's my Stacy. Kaz is the person I'm always with. Kaz is my best friend in the entire world. She is somebody who has seen me at my lowest and has helped me and held my hand and like made me feel good about life. And I genuinely think that she is such a big piece in my life. She is such a big puzzle piece into my life to help me become who I am meant to be. And I just adore her so much. So the moment that has made me feel lucky this week was we were driving to San Diego, which I will get into this in the weekly recap. But we were driving to San Diego. She got me at 5:30 in the morning. And by the way, I've vlogged this entire day. So if you would like to see this visually, it'll be on there on Saturday. But she picked me up from my house at 5:30 in the morning. It's a 2-hour drive to San Diego. We wanted to skydive. It ended up not happening, which spoiler alert for the vlog. But we get to San Diego. Like as we're driving to San Diego, it's this... The clouds are really like, it's really foggy, it's really gloomy, and the sun is rising. And we're driving to San Diego, and we created a playlist the night before, like for the road trips. And as we're driving there, we have both the windows down, and we're just scream singing two songs. The song that I was scream singing to was Blow Me One Last Kiss by Pink, which is genuinely on my montage music, which is like when I feel like my life is a movie, I put on the montage music playlist and I jam out to this, and Blow Me One Last Kiss by Pink is definitely one of them. So as we were driving up to San Diego, we were just like scream singing these songs with the windows down, and it genuinely, genuinely felt like a movie moment. It felt like a coming of age moment, which is something that, as I always talk about on the podcast, I love those moments. Those moments make me feel the most lucky in the entire world. And what has made me feel the most lucky, what has made me feel the most lucky this week wasn't just that moment, but the fact that I had somebody with me in that moment. Because a lot of my coming of age moments I have by myself, you know, like one of my coming of age moments is when I was 19, I believe. There is this canyon called Carbon Canyon in Chino Hills, California. And I remember at 19, I would drive up this canyon for hours at a time at night, look at the city lights, drive up and down the canyon. And it was so, so, so beautiful. That is one of my coming of age moments. Another one is I kissed somebody in the rain. That was so cool. And it's just things like that. Like all of my coming of age moments, I just adore. And this was one of them, like that I banked like into my mind. And I was like, this is such a coming of age moment. 22, going to San Diego for the first time as an adult, because I have not been to San Diego since I was a child, like genuinely probably 11, 12, younger than that. I don't know. I went with my grandma one time. But so going with somebody who I adore, who is my best friend in the entire world, who makes me feel bigger than the whole sky, and being able to have the windows down, scream, singing the lyrics to one of my favorite songs, it genuinely made me feel like the luckiest person in the entire world. Everything was just in place in that moment. So that was my what has made me feel lucky this week. Moving on to the weekly recap, let's talk about San Diego. So I went to San Diego with Kaz, and we were going to go skydiving. That was the plan. We had our tickets. We were ready to go. As we were driving up to San Diego, we're like, oh, it looks a little gloomy today. But she was like, oh, I hope the weather stays like this all day. And I was like, no, it'll clear up. Like, it's usually gloomy. Like, this time of year, it's like morning gloom. And then it gets sunny around 11 a.m. So we're driving up and it's gloomy. We decide to go to the aquarium first things first. We drive into San Diego and we're just kind of driving around. We see how pretty everything is and we have time to kill, right? Because our skydiving appointment is not until 3 p.m. We get there at like 7. No, I think it was like 8 a.m. We get there at 8 a.m. So we have 8 to 3 to figure out what to do. So we are looking up what to do and I was like, oh, there's an aquarium. We should go to the aquarium. I have not been to the aquarium, any aquarium, since I was a child. So we decided to go to this aquarium. It's called the Birch Aquarium. It is in La Jolla. And it was the most fun I've ever had in my entire life. It was so fun. And as somebody who is kind of afraid of animals, not gonna lie, especially I'm really afraid of the ocean and like ocean animals, we were walking around looking at all this fish and these jellyfish and like just the coolest things, sea turtles and like eels and just the coolest things ever. It was so much fun. And you know, like it's dark in the aquarium and it's just a very like ambiance type room. And I'm just like looking around and it was another coming of age movie moment for me because I was just like, this is just so beautiful. And I adored it. I had so much fun. And we saw penguins and it was the coolest thing. And like outside the aquarium on their like terrace deck thing, they have the portion where you can like put your hand in and like touch things. And I can say, I can cross off my bucket list that I have touched a shark because they had this tiger shark, this baby tiger shark. And I was looking at him and he was looking at me and I was like, am I about to touch the shark? Because I literally talked to the worker. She was a volunteer and she was so sweet. And I was like, how fast is this thing? Because like, I don't want to put my hand in there and then it'd just be crazy. And she was like, no, like it's pretty docile. It's pretty chill. Just be really gentle. Only touch it this way. And like, da da da. And then she explained it to me. She's like, but we've never really had an accident. And I was like, okay, I believe you. So I put my hand in to this tank and I slowly caressed this tiger shark. And it was the coolest thing in the entire world. I cannot believe I touched a shark. It was the coolest thing. I had so much fun. I touched a lot of starfish, sea stars. I'm going to try to say this word right. Anemones? I'm going to hope that that's right. Anemones? And Cassandra was like, you have to touch this urchin, this sea urchin. And I was like, absolutely not. Because I think it was an anemone, not an urchin. But it looked exactly like an urchin. And it had like skeletal spikes instead of like anemones, who are like the tingly ones that move around kind of like an octopus. These ones were solid, right? And she was like, just touch it. And the things that they do is they like, you put your hand there and it like wraps around your hand, like your finger. You're only supposed to use like one or two fingers when you're like in the touch thing, right? And she's like, please, please. And I was like, absolutely not. So I didn't touch that. I did touch the soft ones. And it was the weirdest feeling in the world to like rub your hand against it. And it like connects to your finger. It was so weird, guys. It was so weird. Kaz touched a lobster. What else? It was just a lot of things. It was so cool. It was so fun. We couldn't touch the fish is the one rule. It's like, just don't try to touch the fish. Anything else is up for grabs. Touch anything you want, just not the fish. So that was a lot of fun. The aquarium was so fun. We watched them feed the penguins. I got a postcard from the aquarium because I don't know if I've actually ever talked about this. I collect postcards. That is one of my lucky girl hobbies, is collecting postcards. And I write the like a journal entry basically on the back of like where I'm at now, why I had the postcard, like what I did that day. So I got a postcard for that. And then we went to breakfast. We ate at Snooze Eatery. It was so yummy. I grubbed. After that, Kaz was like, we still have time to kill. And I really want to walk this off because we ate good. So we found this like cliff trail. I think it was also in La Jolla. And as we're driving to the trail, she gets an email on her phone that says, "We regret to inform you that we have canceled your reservation for today, seeing as the weather is bad." Oh my God. Once again, watch the vlog for my reaction, because I was devastated. And I was vlogging when she got the email. So I was like, no. So we ended up not going skydiving, but we were at this trail and I was trying not to let this affect my day. I was trying not to have a bad day. I was trying not to be sad because I was like, this sucks, but you know, it is what it is. And Cassandra was like, you always talk about the burnt toast theory. So maybe this is the burnt toast theory that we weren't supposed to go skydiving today. You know, skydiving is a dangerous act. What if like today with the bad weather, like we got hurt? And I was like, you know what? You're right. So we're walking through this trail and it's the most beautiful trail. It's on the water. It's so gorgeous. And I just felt so free, genuinely. San Diego is so beautiful. So we're figuring out what to do next. We decide to go, drum roll please, to the San Diego Zoo, which is something that I have wanted to do for a very, very long time. Now, let me preface this by saying the zoo is very morally questionable. Zoos are just very morally questionable to begin with, because it does make me very, very sad to see animals in captivity, like genuinely heartbroken actually. But after doing research on the San Diego Zoo, they do a lot of rehabilitation for their animals. And, you know, with endangered species, they work to, you know, populate and rehabilitate a lot of the animals. So I felt a little less on my conscience for going, but I still kind of like, I feel bad that I gave my money to something like that, but that is just me. And that is just something that I will always feel bad for. But I will say it was so much fun. We got to see my all-time favorite animals. Now, this is a little lucky girl trivia for you. I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the podcast, but if you know me in real life, you should know. My favorite animal of all time is a koala. And we went, the first things first, Kaz was like, okay, where do we need to go? And I was like, koalas. So we went to the koala area. There was probably like 15, 20 koalas, all in like little different trees and stuff. And I stood there. I kid you not. I think it was generally for like 20 minutes. I was just looking at the koalas and I was like, hi, I love you. And I saw this koala and like, I feel like we made eye contact. And maybe I'm just literally a crazy weirdo for this, but I looked at the koala and I was like, I just want you to know that there's a 22-year-old woman who lives There's a 22-year-old woman who lives in California who loves you so much. I love you so much. And I was like, yeah, I'm the ultimate hype man for the koalas. Like, I love the koalas. We went on to see some very, very cool things. My favorite experience of the zoo was going into the butterfly enclosure. That was crazy. That was so cool. So yeah, you walk into this room and there's just butterflies flying all around. None of them landed on me, which made me really sad. We stayed in there for a while because I was like, I really want one to land on me so I can get it for the vlog and to be able to experience it because that would be so cool. None of them landed on me, unfortunately, but they were beautiful butterflies. And I felt really, really lucky to be there. So that was a very 10 out of 10 day for my week. Let's talk about the downfall of my week. Not really, but I have been sick for the past 2 weeks, and I'm so frustrated with being sick because I've had to call out of work multiple days in a row for being sick, and it is not boding well for me for being sick or for my attendance, but I'm still thriving. I'm still here. But yeah, it's not boding well for me so far with this new department where I'm working now and like moving forward. I'm going through it. I love where I'm at. I love the people I've met. I love the job itself. It's so much fun. So much fun. Other than that, I'm really struggling. I'm going through it. But as we well know, as a lucky girl, we know when the universe says it's time to go, it's time to go. And I'm not saying it's time to go yet, but I'm definitely feeling it. But anyways, I also had a Disney night with Cassandra. We went into Disneyland and we just had so much fun. We went to, what did we do that day actually? Oh, we tried some food from Star Wars Galaxy Edge. So good. Their coffee is phenomenal. And we just walked around and enjoyed our day. We went into Pandora and just hung out. And it was just really, really fun to just hang out with her. But that was essentially my week. A very, very busy week, actually. I'm not one to go on trips very often. But yeah, we went on a lot. And I will say, by the next podcast episode, I will have gone skydiving. Because you're going to hear this Sunday. We have our appointment set for Monday. And if all bodes well, if there is no burnt toast, we should be skydiving on Monday. So I will tell you guys all about that in the next episode. I'm so excited. Moving on very quickly because we are already way deep into the episode and I am still yapping about my segments. Let's talk about the Lucky Girl Obsessions. I have two. The first one, obviously, I had to, is the aquarium. I had so much fun. Genuinely one of the highlights of my life. It was so much fun. So much fun. And then the second one, because I was sick, because I've been so sicky for so long, my obsession is my bed, my safe space, how good it feels to lay in bed for 17 hours on Monday because I couldn't get out of bed. I was so sick. 17 hours and still feel comfortable. So those are my two Lucky Girl obsessions. With those out of the way, it is time to get into this very, very vulnerable episode and talk about my mental health journey. Alrighty, so how about we just hop right into it? I have it set up in a certain way for this episode. I didn't just want to be like, this is all my mental health. I definitely wanted to write this out in a way that will be helpful and productive. I don't want it to just be like, this is everything that's happened in my life and nobody be able to take anything from it. So I want to talk about, first of all, the base of who I am. All this to say, the things that happen to you, they're not the sum of who you are. However, they do deeply define you. And if you let it define you, if you choose to let it define you, and even the bad moments can define you and make you into a better person. So I have a couple moments in my life that have really deeply, deeply defined me that I want to talk about now. So the base of who I am is Lexi Prieto. Hi, nice to meet you. I'm the youngest of five. We're all around 10 months to a year apart from each other. So my oldest brother, Forrest, hi if you're watching, he is the oldest. And then I have three sisters. Two of them are twins, Tanya and Troy. And then my older sister, Gracie. and then me. So that's how it works. It goes me, Gracie, Troy, and Tanya Forrest. Five of us, all around 10 months apart, right? We were raised by a single dad, and my mom left when I was around 4, and it was a very, very hard split. It definitely was not amicable at all. The split between my mom and dad was very, very harsh and very, 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 very volatile. So I went through a lot of trauma at a young age with that divorce. One of my first memories, actually, which is kind of sad to say, but it is the truth of who I am. One of my first memories I ever had is going into a courthouse, and they had this revolving door. And I remember me and my siblings would like go on the revolving door and not leave and just go like use the revolving door over and over and over again. And that's kind of a really good thing to say, because I wanted to tell you guys that as a kid, you know, you find light in anywhere. And even though I was in a courthouse for my parents' divorce, a very messy divorce, we still as kids found this beautiful way to enjoy life, you know? So we were going round and round and round and round and round. And that is, as adults, something that we should take as well, because, you know, as adults, our life can kind of feel hard. Our life can feel like we're struggling, we're going through it, and there's still moments in time where you can find your revolving door and just go round and round and round and round and round and make something fun. And I think that's a very cute lesson to have. But that is my very first memory that I really, really, really remember. I have like a couple before that that I'm like, do I actually remember it? Or is it because somebody told me the story of it? Because I have a very vivid imagination when people talk. But another base of who I am is at a very young age, I developed anxiety as well as deep insecurities. The youngest I remember having a panic attack, which I didn't know at the time was a panic attack, and my dad also didn't know at the time was a panic attack, because God bless him, my dad is very, very, I don't even know how to word this correctly, and I don't want to be mean, but he's very emotionally unaware sometimes. He doesn't really understand things. In regards to me, at least, like, I feel as though my dad, he's been through a lot in life as well, which that's not my story to tell, but my dad has definitely struggled a lot in life, and he has dealt with anxiety and depression as well. But at a young age, I remember being, I believe it was first grade, it had to be a first grade because it was after my mom had left. First grade, I remember we were in line for the playground, and I remember just breaking down crying, and I couldn't breathe. And it was like, I remember thinking as a kid, this is so like ingrained in my brain. As a kid, I was like, why can't I breathe? I'd like, just breathe, Lexi, breathe. And my teacher came running up and she was like, are you crying because of your mom? And I was like, yeah. And I was like sobbing, and she was like holding me, and she was like patting me on the back, and she was like, breathe in, breathe out. And she was like literally having to instruct me how to remember how to breathe. That was the first moment I remember having a panic attack. From then, I had developed deep insecurity regarding who I am as a person. I remember thinking that I was broken, that I was messed up, that there was something wrong with me, because all of my friends around me, everyone around me was normal. They weren't crying randomly. So I was like, what is happening to me? And like, at a young age, obviously, you don't know how much things affect you. Obviously, my mom leaving would affect me at 5 years old. Like, I didn't have a mom anymore. Like, she was gone. Like, nowhere to, like, she just left. I didn't have a mom anymore. And I had a dad who was emotionally absent, who, you know, for the most part, we really didn't do anything together. Like, me and my siblings did everything. We basically raised each other. My dad like stayed in his room like my entire life, basically. So going through that, feeling like when I lost my mom, in some degree, I also lost my dad. And I think what my dad doesn't talk about ever is that how hard that divorce was for him. It was a very messy divorce. And my mom was just, she said some horrible things about him. And with that, my dad became a single father of five, you know, in the split second, in the blink of an eye. He didn't know how to handle five kids. He didn't even, like, to be fair, he didn't even want five kids. He was good with stopping at my brother and just having one. My mom was the one that would be like, I want a big family. I want a big family. Like, this is all I want is a big family. But like, you learn to realize that the reason she wanted a big family wasn't because she wanted kids, it's because she wanted somebody that would love her unconditionally, because she herself had deep insecurities about being loved. She thought, no matter like the amount of kids I will have, you know, they're going to love me unconditionally, just even if nobody else does. And she also did it for the attention. She loved when people would come up to her and be like, these are all your kids. They're beautiful. Like, you look too young to be a mom. Like, they're gorgeous. Like, you did such a good job, or so, like, whatever. She loved that praise. She ate it up because she is a narcissist. And that is another base point of who I am, is having a narcissistic mother. And I will get into that in a little bit. But I just wanted to set the groundwork of like my childhood trauma, like going through all that, growing up incredibly poor. This is sad to say, and I don't think I've ever talked about it on the podcast, and I didn't think I was ever gonna, but my dad, he had told me that at one point in my childhood, he had $2 to his name, and that was it. And he was like, I didn't know how I was gonna make rent. I didn't know how I was gonna feed you guys. I was ready to give up. My dad was like, I was ready to like put you guys in foster care, and like, I couldn't do anything about it, you know? So within that, growing up really, really poor, it also deepened my insecurities, because you saw people around you that didn't have to like, oh, this is so sad, that didn't have to beg for clothes, or like didn't have to have the teachers give them things. And like, I remember for multiple years in a row for Christmas, it was the teachers that were buying our Santa presents, not my dad. And I didn't know it until I was well into being a teenager and he told us, but like, it genuinely, we got so much help from the school and like so much help from people around us, which makes me feel very, very lucky. But it's definitely very, very hard to realize that at such a young age that you are not like the rest of the people around you. And within that, kids are going to be kids. And I remember at a young age, my friends would go up to my sisters and be like, we don't really like Lexi, like she's annoying, or like whatever. And I remember that happening in elementary school. And my sisters would tell me, and I'd be like, you're lying. I don't believe you. You're lying. And they're like, no, we promise you. Like, they told us this. You should not be their friends. And I just remember, instead of thinking, maybe these are people that I don't want to be friends with, I'm going to work harder to make them like me. I'm not going to be annoying. I'm not going to be this. I'm not going to be that. I'm going to try harder. And thus beginning my people-pleasing tendencies, because I was like, okay, I have so much I have to work for now. Like, if people don't like me, I have to make them like me, instead of having the realization that maybe those just weren't the people that were supposed to like me. But I digress. So moving on, let's talk about my life in Florida. If you are listening to the podcast and you knew me when I was in Florida, you knew how miserable I was. I hated living there. I was so miserable. This town was not made for me. You know, the town I grew up in, it was fine. You know, there was nothing really wrong with it. It was just slow living. There was nowhere to go. There was nothing to do. You know, you just went to school and went home, and that's it, you know? And I had these friends that I'm the type of person that I've always had best friends, you know? And I had these best friends every single year, and I would basically live with them instead of live at my house, because I didn't feel valued living at home. So living in Florida, it was really, really hard to realize that you're somewhere you don't want to be. And I remember asking my dad, can I please move to California with my grandma? Can I please, like, I'll go by myself. And my dad was like, no, absolutely not. You're 13. So that in itself made me feel like I was the odd man out, like the ugly duckling when I lived there, because everyone, all of my siblings were fine living there. And I was like, why do I hate it? And I could never come to terms with why I hated it. I never knew why. But it did cause a big rift in my mental health at such a young age, because I didn't feel like I was somewhere where I belonged. I always felt left out. I always felt like I was somebody different, and I was just frustrated. And my dad would always be like, you just want more in life, and like, it's not fair. Like, you should just stay where you're at, like, whatever, da da da, in his own words, of course. So I turned 16, and that is when my mother reached out to me. The same mom that left me when I was 5, the same mom who had been absent in my life for 11 years at that point. And I mean absent, not talking, no texting, not on the phone, silent, ghosted, goodbye. And it was, I turned 16, She found me on Facebook, I think, which I never used Facebook, so it was weird that I found her message. But she had said, "Hey, like, I miss you. I'm doing a lot better in life. I'm actually married and I live in Wyoming, and I would like for you and your siblings to come out to Wyoming to visit me, and I'll pay for your tickets." I floated this idea by my siblings and they all were like, "No, we don't care. We don't care. Like, she is not our mother. She did all this to us. She hurt us. She left by her own volition. She didn't have to leave. She was not court forced to leave. She actually had joint custody of us this entire time. She chose to leave." So they were like, "She's not my mom as far as I'm concerned. I don't care." Me being me, her leaving at a young age, I don't remember her. I don't remember anything about her. And I had to figure it out for myself. So I decided to go. I decided to see if she was a good person or not. And I decided to, it was my opportunity to get out of the small town. So I went and I spent an entire summer with her. And she put on her best face. She made it seem like it was a dream to live with her. Genuinely, she got my nails done. She let me get my hair done. She was spoiling me. We would have dinners out all the time. And like, it was literally like my dream summer. It was so much fun. I had so much fun. And I remember thinking, like, this is the mom that like my dad would always talk poorly on and like my siblings hate. I'm like, this is not the same woman. Like, this woman is like, she's good. She's capable of being a mother. Like, she's going to be a good mom. The summer ends. I go back to my small town, and the entire summer she is pushing. She is saying, "You know, if you want to stay, you can stay. And like, I'll figure it out. You can stay. Like, Lexi, I have a room for you. Like, you can stay. Stay with me." And I was like, my dad's never going to let me. So I go back to Florida, terrified, hands shaking. I was so scared. And I remember my dad picks me up from the airport. And I'm like, "Dad, I want to move to Wyoming. I want to live with mom." And he was like, "Absolutely not. No, you are not moving with her. Case closed. You are not moving with her." I cried for 3 days straight. I cried myself to sleep. Wails, sobs, guttural, painful sobs that he would not let me move. Because I hated Florida that much that I was like, I am willing to move in with this woman who has not been a mother to me for 11 years to get out of this small town, to get out of this toxic living space. Every day for those 3 days, I would be like, "Please, Dad, please. Like, I want to live there. I want to be with her." And I would tell him, I was like, "It's not about you versus her. It's about me. I'm choosing me and I can't do this anymore." And he would be like, "No, no, no." So on the third day, I literally cried myself to sleep the night before. I think it was at night, and we were going to pick up my sister from work. My dad was going to pick up my sister from work. He knocked on my door and I was like, "What?" And he was like, "Let's go for a drive," which my dad has never done in his entire life. I've been like, "Let's just me and you go for a drive." So I was like, what is about to happen right now? Is he going to yell at me? Is he going to tell me I'm ungrateful? Is he going to tell me that, like, how dare I, like, be frustrated, like, angry at me? Not saying my dad's an incredibly angry guy, but when he gets angry, it's scary. So I was terrified, but I go anyways. I get in the car with him, and as we're driving, it's about a 20-minute drive, he was like, "Just tell me why you want to go." And I had told him, I was like, "It's not for you. It's not because I don't love you, and it's not because I love her more. It's for me. I am miserable here." And this is pretty much the saddest thing I've ever said. I told him, I was like, "If I don't get out of this small town, I don't think you're going to have a daughter anymore." You know, and that's so sad to say. And I genuinely have never talked to anybody about this. But I was like, if I don't leave now, then I'm never going to leave, you know. And wow, I did not think I was going to cry in this episode. But he told me. I said all that to him and he looked me in the eyes and he was like, "I just want you to know that if you do this, I will never look at you the same way again." And that is so hard to hear because before this, prior to me being an adult and me going through this, he was my idol. You know, like, I looked up to him so much and I thought he was like a hero. He was my Superman. And then he said that to me, and he was like, if you go, I will never look at you the same way again. And I sat there and I was like, I'm sorry. Then you're just going to never have to look at me the same way again, because I have to go. And then I went. And I moved to Wyoming all by myself. And, you know, my siblings still lived in Florida. I hugged them goodbye. I remember my Grandpa Joe came and he gave me this cross necklace. And he was like, if you ever feel anything, like, hold on to the necklace and know that we're here. And I went by myself to live with my mom. And that year of my life was the best as well as the hardest year of my entire life. Because as I was saying, she was putting on this front all summer that she was just the most perfect mother ever. That life was going to be rainbows and butterflies and sunshine. And like, she has her mental health under control and she's got this. Within like a couple months of living with her, I realized that that's just not the truth. That was just a narcissistic cover up. And I basically, for that entire year, I was 16 going into 17. I was 17 for some of this. I essentially lived by myself that entire year. She was so absent. I was paying bills. I was working more than I was going to school. I actually got kicked out of school twice when I lived in Wyoming for truancy, because a Wyoming law for minors is if you don't go to school for more than 10 days, you get kicked out of high school. And I did that twice. I didn't go to school for 10 days. 10 days. That's crazy. That's 2 weeks straight. I didn't even step foot into school twice. So that's basically I'd missed more than that, but I would miss like 5 days and then go to school and then miss 5 days and then go to school. And they even did a house call. Now that I'm thinking about this, they did a house call. You know, the school psychologist, one of the admins and like one of my teachers came to my house and saw my mother and saw me and was like, Lexi has not been going to school and like, we're worried about her. And I remember my mom putting up this front in front of them being like, I'm so mad at you that you didn't go to school. Like, I'm so mad. She knew I wasn't going to school. She was pushing me to not go to school. She was like, you should work more than you go to school. She was pushing me because I was the one paying the bills. And so she just is a crazy liar. But I digress. I was working more than I was going to school, which as you can probably figure out as a 16, 17 year old is crazy for your mental health, because I was feeling like an adult at such a young age. For a girl who knew nothing, I was thrust upon this adulthood and thrust upon being an adult and acting as an adult and having adult responsibilities. And most importantly, not having a parental figure, not having someone to go to. And we would have these nights, my mom and I, where she would genuinely just be like screaming at me. Like, and it's not like a loving mother being like, clean your room, like screaming to clean your room, fighting, like whatever. It would be her telling me that I'm the most terrible person to ever walk this earth, that I am a mistake, that I am a problem, that everything that has ever happened to her is my fault, that I'm a terrible person. She would scream from the other room, you're a bitch to me. Oh, a 16-year-old, my mother screaming this to me. So not only am I acting as an adult, having to navigate an adult life, I'm also having this narcissistic, like, pathological liar of a mother screaming at me like that. And it was so hard on my mental health. But at the same time, I had learned how to create family within people I chose to be around. So I was working at Chipotle, of all things, my first job, or not my first job, but one of my first big jobs. And the people I worked with were like the best people in the world. And that's always how it works. It's like you find the people who are the best people in the world at the most random restaurants and like the most random jobs, and you end up loving them forever. But I found my people there. And I genuinely, that entire year I lived in Wyoming, I would love going to work because I knew I would see my chosen family, and they would make me feel good and make me feel bigger than the whole sky. And then I would go home to a mom like that. So that was really hard on my mental health. And then I moved back to Wyoming for my senior year. I graduated, slay, not honors, because I was 0.2 points under honors because I failed an art class, a college art class, because I was dual enrolled in college and high school. I failed a college art class because COVID happened and they wanted us to go to museums and the museums were shut down and the teacher failed me. But anyways, that is just very off topic, but it will always frustrate me for the rest of my life. So that moves on to moving to California. I turned 18 in March of 2020. I graduated May of 2020 and I moved out to California September of 2020. So it was all within 6 months of each other. And this is really the start of my mental health journey. You know, before that, I really went through a lot and I struggled and I just avoided everything. Like, I didn't know that all of this was going to mean something one day. You know, I just thought that this is the cards that I was dealt with, you know. I moved to California and I realized that life is so much better when you prioritize yourself, when you choose to be around the right people, when you walk away from the bad people. And this is when my self-help journey begins and my self-worth as well. I spent the first 2 years in California working on myself, figuring out who I am as an adult, figuring out who I am as a person, period. And this is when I developed this lucky girl philosophy, right? It was a very, very big trend, lucky girl syndrome. And I was so magnetized towards that. I was like, this is exactly what I need. This lucky girl syndrome, this lucky girl vibe, this feeling of everything that happens to you, good and bad, makes you the luckiest person in the world because it makes you who you are. And who you are is the key to your success. And I am destined for success. So that is the beginning of this, of learning how lucky I am to be me. And even though I would never wish the things that I went through on anybody ever, I'm grateful that I went through it because it made me who I am. It gave me the tools in my toolbox to become a better person and to never treat somebody the way that my mom treated me, to never speak to somebody the way that my mom treated me. You know, my mom spoke to me and like, remember that the things that you say, the way that you act, it makes people feel things. And nobody is just feels nothing, you know? You can always make someone feel bad. So that was the beginning of it. I learned to alter this woe is me mindset of like, because I remember like growing up, I would always just be like, why am I so unlucky? Why does all this happen to me? I would tally up in my mind all the bad things that ever happened to me. Forget all the good things, the like the good moments, the coming of age moments. And just be like, why do all these bad things happen to me? Woe is me. Woe is me. And then it wasn't until I moved here that I altered my mindset of like, no, once again, I am the luckiest girl in the world to be that I went through these things because they made me who I am, you know? And I spent so much time alone when I first moved out here. For the first 2 years of moving out here, I didn't have any friends. I went to work, went home. And I didn't have any friends that I would go out with, you know, like, do things with. So I spent 2 whole years by myself learning who I am. I started journaling. I started really working on myself. And that is when this next chapter comes into play. These previous 2 years, you know, I have lived in California for 4 years successfully. And these previous 2 years, I started working at a new job. And that is when I found my people. I started working somewhere and I found this girl that I fell in love with. And that leads us to our next chapter in my mental health story, the fated breakup. This happened recently, not recently, months ago. Last year in October, I've talked about this breakup. If you want to hear like the full story, the full scoop, it's episode 40, The Lucky Girl Talk. I talked about this breakup, but this breakup shaped me into who I am today. This is my first breakup my first breakup period, you know. I am not one to date people. I don't feel like I'm missing anything by not dating somebody. I don't feel like I'm missing my other half. I am whole on my own. Everyone else is an addition. So when I fell in love with this girl, she was my friend before I fell in love with her. When I fell in love with her, it felt like movie magic. It felt insane. And it genuinely just felt like magic falling in love with her because it was something that I had never done before, something that I never felt the need to do. So I was like, oh, like, no, like this person is worth it. This person made me fall in love with her. Like she's going to be my forever. Like she's going to be my person. Little did I know the tea, the things that were going on the other side of her, was my best friend also being in love with her. My best friend actively pursuing her while we were together. And now they're together. But that's another story. Episode 40, if you care to listen. But this breakup. Let's talk about the breakup. This is the first time in my life. Or not even, I won't say in my life, because I've been angry before. This is my first time in my adult life. The past 4 years of living in California. This is my first time learning to deal with anger. And my own anger, you know. Because I didn't think I was capable of hating somebody. You know, I didn't think that I was capable of being so hurt and so betrayed that I actually found resentment for somebody. Because before this, my entire philosophy, my lucky girl, and Kaz calls it sunshines and rainbow philosophy, is that like, you never hate somebody. You can dislike a person, but hate is just not in my wheelhouse. That everyone has something redeemable. Everybody has good qualities. And then this happens. And the girl, my ex, can't even call her girlfriend because we weren't even really together. My ex did all the things she did to me. And I also want to preface this by saying my job in life is never to air out business on the podcast. That's not what this podcast is about. The podcast is about becoming the best versions of ourselves. But sometimes we have to go through these hard things in order to become the best versions of ourselves. And the reason I talk about this breakup is because it shaped me so much into who I am now that I want you guys to relate and be able to understand that people doing bad things to you, people breaking your heart, it's just a way to navigate your life. So that's why I talk about it. Not to diss on them, not to like talk shit about anybody, because genuinely I don't think about them. Like genuinely they are not a big part of my life anymore. I am very happy right now with where I'm at. But this breakup is something I do think about a lot. Not her personally, but I think about the things she did and the way it altered me. Like the chain of cause and effect. That's what I think about a lot. But anyways, let's talk about the fated breakup. This breakup was destined to happen, honestly. Like, it was supposed to happen because I went from feeling like I knew everything about my mental health. I went from feeling like, oh, I'm on top of the world. I wake up at 8 a.m. I journal. I eat well. I work out. Like, I am that girl. I am the it girl. And like, you can hear in the beginning episodes of the podcast, like before October, that's what I was going through. And like, slay, Lexi, like, I love that I was like this clean girl aesthetic it girl. I go through this breakup and I realize that maybe I don't have everything under control. Maybe the reason I felt so under control and clean girl aesthetic is because I had nothing going on and I was genuinely rotting away and just wasting my days doing, you know, nothing important, genuinely. So I go through this breakup and I realize how life altering this actually is to me because it's my first breakup. This is also the first time that somebody had told me that they didn't want me, that I wasn't enough for them, I guess. So that was already hard to hear because I went through my entire life feeling like I wasn't enough. And we've talked about this a lot on the podcast. This is why I didn't really talk about it in this episode of growing up, never feeling like I was enough. Growing up with not being the best friend or like not feeling like my friends liked me, not feeling like the ugliest sister, feeling like obviously like my parents didn't love me, like whatever I went through. I went through a lot of not feeling like enough. And the reason this breakup hurt so much is because between my ex and I, when we were just friends, the reason we were so close as friends, best friends, is because we were vulnerable with each other. We would sit in my car for hours talking about our fears and everything. And I remember I was sitting on these steps of Laguna with them, with my ex and my ex best friend. At the time, they were both my best friends. We're sitting on these steps of Laguna on a record shop. And I remember sitting there telling them about my family and about my mom and about my dad and being like, I just feel like I don't have a family. And my ex grabbed my hand and she was like, it's okay, we're your family now and we're never going to leave you. And then this pursues and she breaks my heart and she does leave me and she doesn't choose me and she tells me I'm not enough in her own words. And this fated breakup really altered me within the last 7 months. And I really hated that. I was so frustrated that it altered me because I was like, how annoying is it that she has that power to alter me? This person who has done bad things to me, who is now a bad person in my mind. She might not be a bad person in real life, but she is to me because she did these things to me. She knew the cause of these actions. She knew what she was going to do was going to hurt me. She led me on for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, telling me that she had no feelings for my best friend at all, that it was me, that she literally sat on her phone, because I remember this clear as day. One day, I had told her, like, I'm out. I can't do this anymore, because if you have feelings for her, then, like, just be with her. But I can't do this anymore. We drove home in silence from a pumpkin patch that we never even walked into, because, like, I basically broke up with her in the driveway in, like, the parking lot. And she was like, I just want to go home. Anyways, on the way home, she was silent and she was texting. And I was, she was actually writing in her notes app all the reasons why it was me, why I was the one. Why the reason she is scared of commitment with me is because she's scared of what people are going to think, because people have seen her and my best friend together and be like, you guys would make a cute couple, because like nobody thought that I was into her. So she would write all of this. Literally, she wrote a whole list of why it was me. So obviously, me being a sane human being is like, oh yeah, she wants me. Obviously, I'm the one, because she said I was the one. That obviously didn't happen. Can you tell I'm still a little upset about it? But anyways, it made me come face to face with my anger and learning to deal with it, because going from being happy, 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 sunshine, rainbows, to all of a sudden hating somebody and being angry and being frustrated, as well as mourning a loss of a could have been, that was hard for me. So I felt very, very twisted in who I was. The ex-best friend, she had wrote me a text message once saying, this long text was after she did all that to me. She wrote this long text message saying, I'm not who I say I am. And like basically blaming me for this, which is ridiculous. But anyways, she wrote that I'm not who I say I am. And I took that and ran, because I was like, maybe I'm not, because like I'm angry and I hate somebody and I don't know how to hate people. And I remember telling my ex, we would talk after we broke up, which is sick and twisted. Don't ever talk to your ex, by the way. But anyways, we were talking and I remember telling her, like, I don't know how to act when I'm angry. I don't know how to be angry, because I've never been this angry. And I remember she sat there one time and she was like, you're a bitch. Like, when you're angry, you're a bitch. And she was saying it as a joke. She was laughing. But I felt so regressed back into this 16-year-old Lexi who had her mom yelling at her across the room screaming, you're a bitch. You're such a bitch. And yeah, that tore me apart. And working through that, of learning that what people say is not the reality. And she can think that I'm a bitch. She could think that I am a... She can think whatever she wants, actually, because at the end of the day, she did this to me and I didn't do anything. The reason she thought that I was a bitch was because I stood up for myself finally, for the first time in the entire situationship, of me being like, I didn't deserve what you put me through. And I hope you can live with yourself for the rest of your life, knowing that you put a good person through such a shitty situation. That you will never, and I mean never, have me in your corner ever again. And not to toot my own horn, but that is the biggest loss that you will ever go through, is not having me in your corner. So that happens. And I'm learning to work through my anger, my anxiety. I would cry myself to sleep about this. And now I am at this stage. This happened 7 months ago. This is where I'm at now. This is the final chapter in my mental health story. It's honestly just kind of been a story about my life, but my mental health is such a big part of that. The final chapter is the promise to live for me. After this breakup, I had realized that when she and I were dating, I was so far away from who I truly was. I wasn't creating content. I wasn't doing anything. I don't even remember if I was recording the podcast. Maybe I was recording like once a month in that whole time frame, but it was so hard for me. So this is me finding my way back. This is where I'm at now. Is these past 7 months, I've worked so hard to learn who I am, to hug the parts of me that I don't like and walk them into the light, the parts of me that I love to cherish and kiss and be so grateful for. And the promise to live for me really is the sun coming out after the storm. And I reclaimed my sunshine and I reclaimed who I am. And I know to my core, I am a good person. I'm also a lucky girl. I'm also a great friend. I'm also a passionate person. And now I have all these truths about me, which we talk about in another podcast episode. I don't remember the episode number thoroughly, but we talk about finding things for you that are non-negotiables that nobody can alter or take away from you. And I talked very in deep to that, very deeply about that. So where I'm at now, the final chapter of my mental health is that I am working on it for me. I am finding my sunshine. And I have 3 tips to end out this podcast episode that I want you to take with you when you are ready to step into this chapter of living for yourself. Tip number 1 is call back your energy. Nobody deserves your energy if they're just going to walk all over it. Nobody deserves your energy if they're going to abuse it. And from the relationship of her still trying to be friends after she did all this to me and making me feel bad, making me feel like I'm the villain for not wanting to be her friend, whatever, it was time I called back my energy. Step 2, true happiness is an inside job. That's my tip number 2. True happiness is an inside job. Nobody, and I mean nobody, can make you authentically, thoroughly happy for long, long term. I'm sure Cassandra makes me so happy. She makes me feel on top of the world. But at the end of the day, she is still a person that could leave my life. You know, like things might happen. She might leave my life. The only person that can create longevity within happiness is yourself. So true happiness is an inside job. And the final tip before we end this episode is put value on yourself. If I say anything in this podcast that you want to take away, please take away this. Nobody, and I mean nobody, can take away your value if you truly believe in yourself. If you truly, 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 truly act as if you are the most perfect person. Not even perfect. Act as if your favorite version of yourself. Put value in who you are. Remind yourself that you are so lucky to live this life. And if I didn't go through this step, I would have given up when I was 4 and my mom left and I didn't feel enough. I would have given up when I was 16 and my dad said he would never look at me the same way. I would have given up when my mom was screaming at me that I'm a terrible person at 17. I would have given up when my ex-girlfriend was telling me that I'm a bitch for choosing myself. If I didn't put value in myself and remind myself that these people, the things that they do are a reflection of who they are, not who I am. You know, somebody can see the prettiest flower and still want to kick it because that's who they are. They just want to kick flowers. That doesn't make you any less of the prettiest flower. That's just it. And that's the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening to this episode and being a part of my mental health journey as well. Because whenever I do feel at my lowest, I remind myself how lucky I am to have you guys with me and have this community. So thank you so, so, so much. I love you guys. I am going to rest my voice because I am still sicky, but make sure that you are leaving a 5-star rate and review on this podcast and you are sharing it with all your friends so we can all be lucky girls together. I hope you have the best week of your life. The thing that I want you to comment is tell me what has made you feel lucky this week. That is an ongoing Q&A on the Spotify. So if you listen on Spotify, answer that Q&A because I want to know. But once again, I love you. I hope you have the best week of your life. And I want you to remember to always, always, always stay lucky.